Hi, this is, I'm here recording a submission for the Children and Young People with Disability in New South Wales Educational Settings Parliamentary Inquiry with my daughter.
Hi, my name's Audrey for short. I'm autistic and I'm also an ADHDer. Back to you.
Thanks, sweetheart. All right, so the Parliamentary Inquiry Committee would like to know a bit about your experience in places like school. Can you tell everyone a little bit about what it means to be an autistic ADHDer?
Well, being an autistic and ADHDer is a bit hard, but then it's also my superpower. I think maybe on the good side, it would be I'm creative. I love musical theatre and I'm good on stages. And on the bad side, not really, but I think there's a few reasons why I wouldn't prefer to have these experiences where it's too noisy, it's too bright. People are saying, what's going on? Why are you covering your ears? Or why is it too bright for you? It's not too bright for me. Or it's not too overwhelming. Listen to me. Sometimes my teachers say, you're okay, it's not noisy, you can take your hands out, but actually it is noisy, it's just not noisy for them. They're used to it, they're not autistic, and they don't have sensitive ears. So I think that's kind of a middle bad side-ish, but there's not really one. But the good side has got more on it.
Got it. I don't really want to focus on the bad stuff, but it might be hard for people who aren't autistic
to understand.
Exactly. So I wonder if you could explain a little bit about what happens when you start to feel overwhelmed.
Well, I think I feel a bit overwhelmed when it's like assembly or something, because our hall at school is a big echoey hall and it's really tall and wide. They've just replaced the lights and so now it's like extra bright. So I get overwhelmed when it's too bright, too noisy, or when people are crowding me. And I think people could help with that, but then again, it's hard to. The reason why I get overwhelmed is because people are like, oh, are you okay? And my school is like so friendly. They want to help me, but they just don't know how, and they don't know what my circumstances and why I'm doing this. And they're all, like, crowding around me. It's starting to get better, but not with the year threes, because I'm in year four and they've just moved into year three. So they haven't been in classes with me. So I guess it's really hard.
I wonder what you'd like the year threes to know so that it would make it easier for you to experience school without being overwhelmed.
Maybe it would be easier to let them know by not having someone like me who's scared of saying stuff to people, like new people. And when they're crowding me is usually the time when I can't use my words. I'm overwhelmed and everything's going through my brain and I can't figure it out.
That really must be quite awful.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what it feels like to not be able to use your mouth words? So, like, right now,
you're using
an amazing amount of mouth words, yeah? You're able to express yourself verbally.
Yeah, sometimes people, like, one of the teachers at our school is really strict. Like, she goes on with what it was like, and she sometimes makes it a big deal. Like, she says, oh, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, but she doesn't realise that I can't say it back to her because I'm in that position where I can't talk to her. I can't explain. And she thinks that everyone needs to look at her when she speaks. And lots of times people are like, why aren't you looking at me? Look at me. And sometimes teachers are like, when I'm upset and they're trying to figure out what's going on, they're like getting up under the table wherever I am. And they're like, look at me. Come on, look at me. And I can't look at them because I don't know how to. And sometimes I just feel like it's hard to use mouth words because you're in that stage where everything's actually bursting and coming out of your brain, where everything's going, what's happening here? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sometimes when I'm excited, sometimes when I'm anxious, sometimes when I'm angry, and sometimes when I'm happy, or if I'm sad. But I think you might need to realize that sometimes people, you don't know their situation, what's going on in their family, what's going on anywhere. So I think the person that you're talking to or trying to get their attention when they're upset might feel like, oh no, you can't do this, you can't do that. And then they come to you after they've seen that a few days later or maybe an hour later. They're usually my best friends and I can't say it to them, so I just use noises and I go, ah! And then they think that I'm doing something bad, like they think that they've done something wrong. And then they're usually my friends that I sit next to, and then they don't understand that I can't speak to them right then. And then they're not my friend anymore suddenly. And I wonder why, but I don't know what's happened. And then I realize, oh, what I've done and what they might think. It's hard to socialize with new people or people who are angry with me. At school, sometimes I have to keep it in and then I burst out at home.
Can you tell me a bit more about that?
So when I start school, I take my medicine and then I go to school, right? And then during the day, something's happened. Everything's piled up. It's like a brick wall that has to go like from start. One mean word, two mean words, three mean words, and over again. And then sometimes it builds up the hide of me, and then when I get home, I've jiggled it so much that it just falls over the ground. And then I have to let it out, and because my mum's my safe place, I let it out, and then I have a big meltdown. And it's hard, and sometimes my teachers take my headphones away. So when I was doing my dance performance, I wasn't allowed to wear my big earmuffs. So they took it off me, and then I had to dance with the giant lights, the giant sound, and it just happened to be where I was standing, the speaker was right in front of me. And so when I got home, I burst out my bricks and all my meaningful words that has happened to me that day.
That makes a lot of sense. Can you give examples? Like, say you start the school day all the way to the end of the school day, just like you described. Can you tell me what it might be that causes a brick to be laid?
Well, so it's a rainbow wall, right? Sometimes the bricks are purple, which means that they're upset, worried, and anxious. All the negative put-down words. There's one half of the wall that's mean and one half of the wall that's happy. Pink words are also on the mean side, where some teacher has said something to another teacher, whispered it, but I can still hear it. It's like a support teacher or something to it, one of the other teachers who were teaching me just then. And sometimes it can be hurtful because they're complaining or saying something about me, and I hear all of it. That's the pink brick. And then there's the blue brick. That's kind of it's the happy side, kind of the good side, where someone said, good job to me, or you're awesome at it. Mostly this happy side is filled up with blue bricks. And then there's purple, pink. There's quite a lot, but the pink side, there's only maybe one or two. It depends on the day, each day.
So can you tell me what some of the things that maybe a support teacher has said that you've heard that's made you upset?
It's the teacher who has just taught me, who says the hurtful words.
What do they say?
Sometimes they say, like, oh, why does she wear headphones? Or, oh, why does she do this or that? Oh, why does she cover up her eyes or ears sometimes? And the support teacher is trying to help and trying to say why, but sometimes it's a support teacher who doesn't know me, and then they just say something random that some other kid's done to make them look smart. That was one of our old support teachers who left the school now.
Can you tell me about your experience with the old support teacher that said those sorts of things? What happened?
I felt really put down. It was all put down words. And I felt like my wall was almost about to collapse. That's usually at the end of the day. And so it's wobbly and wobbly. The wind's just pushed it. And it hasn't got some of the bricks don't have cement on them. And so it's wobbling and wobbling and wobbling. And then it's still wobbling. And then other stuff gets wobbled because either it doesn't have cement or it's come off because I'm so angry. And sometimes some days at school I sit by myself because I need, sometimes I just sit in the corner by myself reading a book because I need that extra wind in my hair, wind in my face, and no one talking to me.
And is that in the classroom as well as in the playground?
Well, I can't really do it in the classroom. And sometimes I need a break. So I have this thing set up with my principal where I do some jobs for her every week I get something from the newspaper, which is the Spot the Difference. And I do that for her every week, which is one of my brain breaks. But sometimes I finish that all in one go in about 5 minutes. Technically, I'm really good at that. And sometimes I finish it in about 5 minutes. So, and then the rest of the week builds up and I need a break. And my teacher sometimes says, oh, no, you don't need that. I want you to stay here because I think she thinks that I do that just so I can get out of learning. But I know that people have explained to her, like my parents or my old teacher, even my principal, that sometimes she forgets.
Can you tell me how you think you're going in terms of your learning compared with other kids in Year 4?
Well, I think maybe it's about 5% a difference, or maybe 10. I don't know. It depends on what teacher I have and how they teach me.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I'm an ADHD, so I sometimes am distracted and then I don't hear the question. Sometimes I do, but I don't hear. Sometimes I don't hear the question or the answer or the actual thing that I'm learning. And then I'm like, wait, what? And I actually, when it was the end of 2023, we were told to write a note to the person who was sitting at our desk. And I said, I did a poem and it, one bit said, or you'll end up like me, looking out the window, staring at a tree. So I find that maths is really hard as well because the way people explain it, and they always do it in the middle of the day, it's hard. In the morning, it's hard. And at the end of the day, it's hard. So it's kind of like the noonish or the morning-ish time to do it. Because my medicine has just kicked in. It's new, it's early, and my brain will work. And so I think I find that I might not, because in the afternoon or in the morning, when my medicine hasn't kicked in fully, it's like a scale. One bit's here, one bit's here, and then it's fully working, and mm-hmm. then it wears off the same, but only in opposite way. So I think maybe, like, the numbers, because, like, everyone says numbers. Numbers are trauma for me. Like, they're the they're the actual word for me, and also with no. So I used to have a friend who moved from our school who was the same as me, autistic and an ADHDer, and he would have no as his trauma word or his word to say that his amygdala or his amygdala would go, ding, 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 numbers are scary, they're a monster. And he would have some people call it a meltdown. It's not really a meltdown. It's a reaction to something that has traumatized him or someone who has had something said to them that's mean. So he would have what people would call a meltdown. People would have to evacuate the room because he would throw stuff. And I found that people didn't want to sit with him. People didn't want to be friends with him because of what he does. But that's not fair. That's why things need to change. That's why kids who are autistic need the support that helps them to understand, not to not let out your feelings, just to be able to have a happy life, like not to have to be forced to stay still, focus and process every single thing, like a neurotypical person who can do all of those things. So if people think that it's gotten better, it has a bit from in the olden days, as I call it. But people still don't understand what happens in our brains. People still don't understand why we can't do that. People still don't understand why we do that. And I think it's quite hard because having to hear from the autistic person at that time, like, it's hard because sometimes they might have something going on that in their brain, and it has to be at the right time. Like now, for me, I can focus, and it has to be at the right time that you can talk to them, because they might be needing a break. So they might be, say, they might need to have some alone time and just some quiet time to think, breathe, and listen. So I think it's really hard to explain, but I think me and him would be kind of the same, only I do all of the stuff that he does at home, because I don't want to be in trouble and I don't want that to happen to me, because it's a very bad experience and you might not understand, but we do, and the autistic community understands what autistic people are going through because they've had that experience where people don't want to be your friend. People don't want them to, people don't want to interact with them because they're scared that they might do something wrong and then that person might react in a different way that you would think to react. And also there's a kid at my school who's got dwarfism and people treat her like she's a baby. People are like, always like, hi, and like talking in a lower voice and a clearer voice because they think that she can't hear them because they're up here and she's down there. And they pat her on the head and they think that she's so cute, but she wants to be a big girl. She wants to interact like the other kids. She wants to be able to be treated like she belongs and that she doesn't have to be forced to look like a baby, to look small. And lots of the kindies, actually, think that she is in kindy because she's small, but she's not. But they've made it accessible for her. Like, they've put hands on rails, and at the Oosh building they've made it smaller steps just so she can get up, and handles on rails. So in our school hall there's stairs that go, there's big stairs, big wide stairs, and there's a little pathway bit, and they've added a railing to that, and it's gotten wobbly because kids swing on it. They think it's just like one that's kicked into cement, but it's not. And she has to use that. It's hard because she's only in year one, and so she's only new to the school. So it's hard to know because they've just added that when she came to school. And it's hard, and they've added the disabled toilets in the K-2 bathrooms have got a step handrail, and it's also got a lower hook, just like the other ones, only that's high, but there's a lower one to, like, if she's getting changed or if she's putting a bag there because she can't pick it up. And there's also in the girls' bathrooms a handle. So our school's turned into an accessible school, but then again, it's not, because for kids who have hidden disabilities, there's not. Because there's accessible ways for kids who have a physical disability, but there isn't a plan or people who know, or people who are autistic helpers, like support teachers, who know what's going on, because they have to look after almost every single child in the school. So they can't remember. I think our school needs one for each class because the support teachers have to leave and go to another classroom at a certain time, no matter what. If the kid in one class is having a hard time and they need to support them, they can only support them in an amount of time. And so sometimes the support teachers have to leave when someone else is having a hard time and there's no one else to help them because the other teacher is teaching. And so I think that needs to change. But it's hard to find support teachers who actually understand.
If you think about the physical changes that have been made to the school to make it more accessible for the student with dwarfism, if you could make adjustments and changes to school for people with hidden disabilities, like kids.
It's accessible, like instead of a ramp or a handrail, it would be a quiet room or something. In between some of the classes that are conjoined, there's a quiet room, but in my classroom, there's only a wet room and a storeroom. And the wet room, there's quite a light, that makes sense. And it's quite noisy because the tap's going, there's soap squirting. It's like it's hard, and it goes quite dark when you turn off the light. But sometimes it's too dark, because I'm also scared of the dark, you see. So it's very hard. And sometimes I go in the storeroom. My teacher lets me go in there, and kids go, "You're not allowed in there," because she's told them not to, but told me I can. And I think there needs to be some spot in the school, like, that we need to fundraise for, that there should be a quiet room in the office somewhere where kids can go and have a break. But there's a little slip at my school office where some teachers work, but we could make another room for them and then have that area as a quiet room because it's long and thin, and it would be able to have, like, because if sometimes kids have got the same thing and then they go there at the same time and some kids want to be alone, there could be, like, a room, rooms, because it's quite long, and there could be split bits. And then sometimes I go into the school office and then say, "Do you have any jobs?" And sometimes they don't. And then I have to go to the other teachers and ask. And I find I just need, sometimes I don't need a job. I just need to be in the principal's office sometimes, or just to read in there because it's quiet. It's quieter than the classroom, and sometimes I have my headphones, and my principal says, "Did you bring your headphones today?" And sometimes I say no because I didn't, because I forget sometimes, and sometimes I say yes, but it's hard to say yes because she'll just send me back because she doesn't let me speak sometimes, so I can't say yes, I do, but they're not strong enough because we only have the headphones that are the same volume as mine. And so I think I need to be in the principal's office because there's a circle table where some of the kids who, there's this boy at my school who sometimes has, Bunny has done something wrong and has to go and sit in there because he needs some time just to sit there. And sometimes it's because he just needs to be away from kids and needs to do something. Like, he needs to go away from the kids because he's got a punishment. Sometimes he stays in the bathrooms if he needs a break. One time last year, I was in his class, and he stayed in the bathroom at lunch, after lunch, and there was a whole search party for him because nobody knew where he was, but he was actually in the bathrooms trying to get some noise away from him. But in the bathrooms, it's really echoey, and when someone comes in there, it's like they're laughing or they're screaming or they're doing something, and he was hiding in the bathrooms trying to get some noise away from him. One of the boys got sent to the boys' bathrooms because I thought maybe he's in the bathrooms. So he looked in every single cubicle and he found him. And then my principal took him into the principal's office and sat him there for the rest of the day. So it was at the end of recess. So he just stayed there. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes the teachers don't let me go because they want me to learn. But sometimes my brain, if they try, I don't learn anything because they say, sit still or stay quiet or do this or do that. And I'm processing that and I'm staying still. And then my brain switches off and goes to sleep. And then I'm just staring there and I'm listening, but I'm not thinking. I'm like pretending that I am, but not on purpose pretending. I'm trying to let them know that I can't do it. And I wrote on the All About Me and What My Teacher Needs to Know that if you notice that I need a break or if I ask, can you please let me go to the principal's office to do some jobs? But sometimes I say, can I go and do some jobs for the principal? And then my teacher's like, she's busy, but she doesn't listen to me, and I say, can I go to the office? Because they both have jobs for me. And I can't say both of them because it's hard, because I'm in that moment, in that stage, no mouth words coming out. Even if I just have that one little bit, then I turn into some sort of alien and I go, but I don't say that, it's in my brain. Because I don't want to look weird. It's hard to explain.
I think you've done a great job of explaining. I'm curious about your ideas that you need a break from the classroom. And I'm wondering what you think could change about classrooms to make it so that you don't feel like you need as many breaks or that it's not so hard and overwhelming for you.
I don't think that could change because even like something easier, say easier stuff in maths than the others, I would still, it's numbers, I can't do it. And it's words, I can't do it. It's letters, I can't do it. And sometimes I get to that point where I'm like, ding, 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 need a break, need a break. I can't say it. Ding, 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 ding. I need a break, hurry up. And I can't do it. Ding, 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 ding. Explode. And I have to hold that in.
And that's why it comes out later.
Yeah, because I've held it in about 1,000 minutes. And I'm like, can't do it. Goodbye.
So I want you to think about all the times when things have been really awful and you've felt misunderstood and you wish that things were different in terms of your learning and how you're experiencing school.
Well, that's a good question. I think that I feel very misunderstood when maybe I've suddenly realised that someone's being mean to me, but I don't realise that in the first place. And then they keep on being it. And then I've kind of felt like I wasn't autistic because it's hard being someone who sometimes can't understand what the person's saying. And also, sometimes I say stuff that I do not mean. It just comes out, I don't think about it. Like, once my friend had boba slime, and I smelt it, and I did not like the smell. That's another thing, I hate strong smells. I have a reaction to that too. Very overwhelming. But back to the slime, I said, your slime stinks, and she kind of went, and was surprised in me, because I've never said that before, and I felt like, oh no, did I just do something wrong? And I also said to her, you're doing something wrong, like, she was playing with me, and she was helping me build a dam in the nature play space, and I said to her, that's not right. And I said it in a way like, you're doing that wrong. Let me do it. And she was like, no way. I want to do it. And then I felt like I was doing something wrong. And I felt like, and then I felt like we weren't friends anymore. But we're best friends. And I was like, why is she doing this? And I was confused. And then I realized, and I feel like, I wish I didn't say that. And I wish I wasn't like that. And lots of kids and also teachers touch my chewy, which is my chewing necklace. And I'm like, don't touch that, because they don't have clean hands, and I want to chew on it, and I haven't chewed on it yet, luckily. And so then I have to wash it, but they are like, ew, why are you chewing on that? And I have to explain to them, and they don't listen.
So what is it for?
It's for preventing me to have a mental overload.
Mm-hmm. How does it help you?
I've got, what's it called? Like, how I need to chew.
Ah, the OTs call it oral stimulation.
Yes.
So that you need something in your mouth.
To stimulate me and to make sure that I'm not overwhelmed and that I'm not going, oh, I need to chew, I need to do this, I need to fidget, I need to focus on this, oh no, I can't do that, and so that I don't feel like I'm about to burst.
So chewing helps you feel calmer? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically. But I wish stuff was better with that, because I don't know how to explain it and people need to know what it is. And people want it because it looks cool, but they don't actually need it. And then they ask their parents, and then their parents are like, blah, 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 no, you can't have it. And then they're cranky, and then they're like, they want that. They want my one. And I'm like, no way can you have that. It's mine.
So is what you're saying that you need different types of adjustments, and they don't involve adding handrails,
yeah,
or moving
change
the height of
things. Change the point of your mind and change not physically but mentally.
So what do you think they need to do?
They need to understand what it is.
And once they've understood, what should they do?
They need to react, apologize, and or do something about it. And stop, if you know, then you should stop other kids doing it. And also stop the person, the autistic person, to not, if you understand what what's going on. You need to stop what you're doing and help them and try and you know what's going on, so you say it to them. You explain to what it is, who it is, and why it is.
So are you saying then that teachers could
tell other teachers what's going on and spread around the school?
Okay. And what about telling the students?
It's hard because they don't understand what's happening. So okay. You can't really change the kids, but you can change the grown-ups. The grown-ups can understand what's going on. They can change what they're doing, but little kids can't do that because they don't understand what's going on.
What about when the grown-ups know?
Sometimes the grown-ups know, but they don't react because they think, oh, that person's smart, I need to be smart like them, or, like, telling me off for doing it, but not actually, you know, but you're regretting what you did. You're just doing it to make you look good. Parents know their child's autistic. Parents know what happens. Parents know what's going on. And you need to change what you're doing. You need to go actually to the other person and helping the child or the person who's autistic.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that when a parent approaches a teacher,
or an adult,
or anyone approaches a teacher and it helps the teacher to understand their child better and what their needs are, that teacher needs to listen to the parent?
Yeah.
And then in the classroom,
they need to change what they're doing.
Okay.
And how they teach the child, because they might not know what's going on. And changing the, if someone needs something, they go, oh, I need this because it's too bright, it's too loud. You adjust it to the right spot for that person.
So let's say a parent has gone to the teacher, talked to the teacher, and the teacher says, yes, I'll do that for your child.
Yeah, and then they don't do it. Another thing is that sometimes teachers say something's happened. It's not true. They just say it so that it looks like they're smart, but actually you're smart no matter what you say. And the fact is that you need to tell the truth so that the parent can talk to their psychologist, their pediatrician, their doctor. They can get to know if your child's not diagnosed, maybe you should get the teacher to tell the actual truth so that then you can get all that information to tell the whoever you're telling to do the diagnosis or something what goes on, how it does, and why you're going there.
I just want to ask you one more question. If you had a magic wand and you could change the rules about how people with disabilities are treated at school, what would you change?
I reckon I would probably make it so that people would understand what's going on and to have a space for an autistic kid to regulate at school so that they don't have to just do that at home and to have some time away from other kids. That's what I would do with my magic wand.
Love it.
Bye.
Thanks for your help. Great job.